Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen, not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. Father, this evening may you open up our ears, our hearts to your word, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is leading us to this evening. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. History has produced many great people. There are great actors. There are great athletes. There are great musicians. And maybe one or two great politicians. I'm not sure. And people are considered great for many reasons. Their creativity, their courage, their philanthropy, their intellectual prowess. I have to confess something. I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk. You know who that is? Yeah. Elon Musk. For some reason, this guy, you either love him or hate him. Nobody's in the middle. Here's a guy who started several companies, sold several companies, made tons of money. Eventually, he started this little company called PayPal. He sold it and became a billionaire. And all of that by the time he was 31. And then he started a space company making rockets no one thought could be made. A car company making cars people said no one would ever buy. A tunnel boring company to build tunnels so he could drive his electric cars. He started a solar company. And then he's also started a company that is working on technology to connect the human brain to a computer. I mean, clearly, this guy is an overachiever. And yet, even Elon Musk, in the grand scheme of things, will amount to very little. I mean, not because he won't have a huge impact on humanity, and for a very long time. I mean, he's already made his mark. It's just that eventually he too will be forgotten. And some of the greatest people in history have been forgotten. And we just take their contributions for granted. As children, we are encouraged to do our best. As young adults, we strike out to make our mark and we have high ideals and lofty dreams. And then, as adults, we eventually hit that crisis point where we realize that those dreams, those ideals, they're just probably not going to come true. And sometimes we get to that point and we refuse to accept that reality. We think we scramble for more. We try to get people to respect us and honor us. We deserve more. We expect it to be treated as if we are something. And we scrape and fight to be recognized or acknowledged. So the South has this wonderful phrase that I love. It's multifaceted. It means so many different things. I have adopted it a long time ago because it's just fun. It goes like this. Bless his heart. Oh, bless her heart. She's just trying so hard. I mean, if you've raised your kids, or if you've even been around, you know, kids any amount of time at all, you know what I'm saying. They get to that point and they start pushing back. They start feeling their oats, right? They want to take care of themselves. They're 2 years old and they want to pour their own milk in their cereal. And we just look at them and say, aw, bless his heart. As hopefully we're taking the milk away. If you've been around Church of the Holy Spirit this last year, you probably heard me say this a few times. And it's this phrase that I keep trying to drill in our minds and in our hearts. And it goes like this. God is God, and we are not. And remember, there's two circles. There's a big circle and a little circle. The big circle is God. The little circle is us. The little circle is not inside the big circle. The little circle doesn't overlap with the big circle. The little circle doesn't even touch the big circle. God is God, and we are not. See, God is wholly other. His nature and his attributes are completely different than ours. I mean, he is all powerful, and we are not. He is all knowing. And we are not. He is all seeing, and we are not. And he is eternal, and we are temporal. And yet, from the first sin in the garden, humanity has gotten this all wrong. Humanity has gone and tried to usurp the position of God. They've gone out and said, no, I'm going to take care of myself. And too often, we too get this formula a little mixed up. We think that we're so important that God needs us, or that he depends on us. And sometimes we think that we can usurp his position in our lives and in the lives of others. And the psalmist offers us this correction. And it's the same challenge that we are given in Ash Wednesday. It's the reminder that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Psalm 103 also says, as a father cares for his children, so the Lord cares for them that fear him. But then he immediately explains who he's talking about and why this love is extended to his children. He loves because he knows we are mere dust. Our days last no longer than the grass or the flowers of a field. I mean, consider the dandelion. You have a field of dandelions, and when we get a good Florida wind that comes through, they're gone. That's us. Good strong wind, and we're blown away. In the grand scheme of things, we are inconsequential. We are fragile. And yet, it's that fragility that draws us to Him. It's that fragility that magnifies His love. A father loves his children, for he knows that we are but dust. And more than just simply being fragile, he also knows that we are broken sinners, desperately in need of someone to save us. And here's the thing, no matter how positive we may view the world, no matter how good we think people inherently are, the reality is that each one of us is going to leave here, and before the end of the day, we're going to do, think, or say something awful. Right? There's a good chance. This is simply an indication of what I'm saying. We are broken and need, and we need someone to come and extend mercy. You see, ultimately, any thought of human greatness is a complete sham. Not only are we small and forgettable, we all have this desperate need that we cannot meet in ourselves. And we cannot meet for other people. True greatness in the world can only be found in one place, and that is in God's mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so His mercy is great upon those who fear Him. God does not leave us in our smallness and our depravity, but He turns His eyes to us with His abiding love. I mean, the fact that we are mere dust, that our lives are just small and inconsequential, is actually a sign to us of God's grace. Because we, according to the psalmist, are inconsequential, but so very consequential to God. In the grand scheme of things, we don't have that great of an impact on the earth. And yet, God gives His only Son, Jesus, that He might be able to draw us to Him, so that we, the inconsequential ones, might become consequential to Him. We who are fleeting are yet so precious to God. And He has given everything to us. He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. God is God, and we are not. And though we are as temporal as the wind, the thing that we can count on is that the merciful goodness of God endures forever. We bring nothing into this world. We take nothing out. What is eternal is God's abiding mercy as He shows out to us. May we cling to that mercy today and forever. Amen.